By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, it is a beautiful morning, mashallah. And I would be, well, I am excited again to be welcoming you back to another day of Rise and Shine, mashallah, Azza wa Jal. Each and every single day, we always begin by listening to the beautiful verses of the Holy Quran. We should be listening to in the morning, we should be listening to the Quran, make good intentions, because the more good intentions you make, the more reward you shall gain. Let's begin this day by listening to the recitation of the glorious Quran. It does come along with the Urdu translation, so those who do understand the Urdu language are at an advantage. Let's listen to the recitation of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
میں اللہ تعالی کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم.
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
واكتب لنا في هذه الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة إنا هدنا إليك.
اور ہمارے لیے اس دنیا میں بھلائی لکھ اور آخرت میں بے شک ہم تیری طرف رجوع لائے.
قال عذابي أصيب به من أشاء ورحمتي وسعت كل شيء.
فرمایا میرا عذاب میں جسے چاہوں دوں اور میری رحمت ہر چیز کو گھیرے ہے.
فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِنَا يُؤْمِنُونَ.
تو عن قریب میں نعمتوں کو ان کے لیے لکھ دوں گا جو ڈرتے اور زکات دیتے ہیں اور وہ ہماری آیتوں پر ایمان لاتے ہیں.
الذین یتبعون الرسول النبی الامی الذی یجدونہ مکتوبا عندہم فی التوراۃ والانجیل یأمرہم بالمعروف وینہاہم عن المنکر ویحل لہم طيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث ويضع عنهم إصرهم والأغلال التي كانت عليهم.
وہ جو غلامی کریں گے اس رسول بے پڑھے غیب کی خبریں دینے والے کی جسے لکھا ہوا پائیں گے اپنے پاس توریت اور انجیل میں, وہ انہیں بھلائی کا حکم دے گا اور برائی سے منع فرمائے گا اور ستھری چیزیں ان کے لیے حلال فرمائے گا اور گندی چیزیں ان پر حرام کرے گا اور ان پر سے وہ بوجھ اور گلے کے پھندے جو ان پر تھے اتارے گا.
فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ وَعَزَّرُوهُ وَنَصَرُوهُ وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعَهُ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ.
تو وہ جو اس پر ایمان لائیں اور اس کی تعظیم کریں اور اسے مدد دیں اور اس نور کی پیروی کریں جو اس کے ساتھ اترا, وہی بامراد ہوئے.
قل یا ایہا الناس انی رسول اللہ الیکم جمیعا الذی لہ ملک السماوات والارض.
تم فرماؤ اے لوگو میں تم سب کی طرف اس اللہ کا رسول ہوں کہ آسمان و زمین کی بادشاہی اسی کو ہے۔
لا الہ الا ہوا یحیی و یمیت،
اس کے سوا کوئی معبود نہیں جلائے اور مارے، یعنی زندگی اور موت دے۔
فآمنوا باللہ ورسولہ النبی الامی الذی یؤمن باللہ وکلماتہ واتبعوہ لعلکم تہتدون،
تو ایمان لاؤ اللہ اور اس کے رسول بے پڑھے غیب بتانے والے پر کہ اللہ اور اس کی باتوں پر ایمان لاتے ہیں، اور ان کی غلامی کرو کہ تم راہ پاؤ۔
وَمِن قَوْمِ مُوسَىٰ أُمَّةٌ يَهْدُونَ بِالْحَقِّ وَبِهِ يَعْدِلُونَ،
اور موسیٰ کی قوم سے ایک گروہ ہے کہ حق کی راہ بتاتا اور اسی سے انصاف کرتا۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Dear viewers of the channel, mashallah عز وجل, listen to the recitation of the Holy Quran, Surah A'raf, Your Honor. I was just thinking as I was listening to the Quran that it's been such a long time since we've gone over all of the chapters. So we did say that inshallah عز وجل we shall regularly try to, I think I did say daily, but it's been some time since I've not, that we shall regularly go over the surahs, the chapters of the Qur'an. Because, mashallah, there would be those who are huffaz, those who have memorized the glorious Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them more blessings, mashallah, in their knowledge and in their memory, my dear viewers. But those who have not been able to memorize the glorious Qur'an, we should try to familiarize ourselves with, you know, the Qur'an. Alhamdulillah. And the Qur'an, my dear viewers, of Madinah has 114 chapters. And let's, inshallah, go over the names of the chapters. Let's see how many of you guys actually remember the names. So the first chapter of the glorious Qur'an is, what comes to mind, the first page. Can you remember what is it? As soon as you open the Qur'an, the first page, the one we all know by heart, I'm hoping, inshallah, Surah Al-Fatiha. So the first page is the first chapter. And then we have the second chapter, which is Surah Al-Baqarah. And this is quite a lengthy and the longest chapter of the glorious Qur'an. And then, my dear viewers of the channel, we have the third chapter, which is Surah Ali Imran. The fourth chapter we have is Surah An-Nisa, I think. The fifth chapter is Surah Al-Ma'idah. The sixth chapter is Surah Al-An'am. And the seventh chapter is Surah A'raf. My dear viewers of the channel, I hope you do remember the names generally of the chapters of the glorious Quran. Alhamdulillah, we have listened to the glorious Quran. Let's now move on to the Na'at Sharif of the greatest of mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers, let's listen to the Na'at Sharif. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
مدینے جانے والو جاؤ جاؤ فی امان اللہ، مدینے جانے والو جاؤ جاؤ فی امان اللہ، کبھی تو اپنا بھی لگ جائے گا بستر مدینے میں، نہ ہو مایوس دیوانوں پکارے جاؤ تم ان کو، نہ ہو مایوس دیوانوں پکارے جاؤ تم ان کو، بلائیں گے تمہیں بھی ایک دن سرور مدینے میں، سرور مدینے میں۔ سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی، کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی، سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی، کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی، جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی، جب درِ نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی، سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی، کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی، آرزو ہے سینے میں گھر بنے مدینے میں، آقا آرزو ہے سینے میں گھر بنے مدینے میں، ہو کرم جو بندے پر بندہ پروری ہوگی، ہو کرم جو بندے پر بندہ پروری ہوگی،
بندہ پروری ہو،
سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی، کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی،
جب گھڑی ہو،
جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی،
حاضری ہو،
بات کیا ہے باد صبا اتنی کیوں معطر ہے، بات کیا ہے باد صبا اتنی کیوں معطر ہے، سبز سبز گنبد کو چوم کر چلی ہوگی، سبز سبز گنبد کو چوم کر چلی ہوگی،
کر چلی ہو،
سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی، کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی،
جب گھڑی ہو،
جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی،
حاضری ہو،
سو کھلیں گے اس کے لیے رحمتوں کے دروازے، سو کھلیں گے اس کے لیے رحمتوں کے دروازے، نعت مصطفیٰ جس نے ایک بھی سنی ہوگی، نعت مصطفیٰ جس نے ایک بھی سنی ہوگی،
ایک بھی سنی ہو،
سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی، کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی،
جب گھڑی ہو،
جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی،
حاضری ہو،
دیکھ تو نیازی ذرا سو گیا کیا دیوانہ، دیکھ تو نیازی ذرا سو گیا کیا دیوانہ، ان کی یاد میں شاید آنکھ لگ گئی ہوگی، ان کی یاد میں شاید آنکھ لگ گئی ہوگی،
لگ گئی ہو،
سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی، کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی،
جب گھڑی ہو،
جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی،
حاضری،
بلا لو ہم غریبوں کو، بلا لو اے میرے آقا، میں آؤں آپ کے در پر،
کرم ہو اے میرے آقا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم اللہم آمین اللہم آمین. Well, may we be called to the blessed shrine of the greatest of all mankind. And my dear viewers, we hear I say the greatest of all mankind, but we don't actually think about, wow, you know, really the greatest of all mankind. Think about somebody you look up to. There may be, you know, people look up to all sorts of people. It could be authors, it could be, it doesn't matter. There's all sorts of people. Like, you think, oh, wow, look at this person. Like, wow, look at this person. Or even people in history we've heard of or we've read about. This person did such and such. He was so great because of this reason. And if you're on Mandani channel, the greatest, there's no exceptions. So whoever you think is, wow, this person is so great, this individual is so great, it could be male or female. And so you think, people look up to it, it depends. It sometimes it depends what you're in. That's if you're into education. So people look towards different sort of role models. In my dear viewers of Mandani channel, the greatest of all mankind, of the greatest, not even all mankind, the greatest of creation, Allahu Akbar, the greatest ever, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest, he is the greatest. Anybody who you think of, better, greater than them, in any manner whatsoever. Allahu Akbar, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine going to, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability, inshallah, very, very soon as possible, either to go perform the Hajj, inshallah, the major pilgrimage, my dear viewers, or at least, inshallah, the Umrah. The Hajj is specific days. The Umrah is any time of the year to go and perform the Umrah. It's just a few things. And the most, and the greatest of the Hajj and the Umrah. Remember, visiting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is part of Hajj. And the scholars say that it is the greatest pillar. Yes, it is the greatest pillar of them. And there's various ahadith from which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that individual who performs a pilgrimage, somebody who performs a pilgrimage, but then do not meet, وَلَمْ يَزُرْنِي, and then they did not come and meet me, visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَدْ جَفَانِي, that they have been disloyal. So, my dear viewers, it is part of the Hajj to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and being in the greatest of places. Yes, Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara is greater than Al-Makkah Al-Mukarramah. We must understand this. That, yes, Makkah Al-Mukarramah used to be greater. And this is a dispute upon the scholars. They say, which one is greater? There's so much mention about Makkah Al-Mukarramah. There's so much mention about Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. And in order to bring harmony between the, you know, various evidences, the scholars, they state that no doubt they are both special, no doubt about it, they are both outstanding. But as long as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah al-Mukarramah, Makkah al-Mukarramah was greater. But as long as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, and he migrated, remained in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, passed away in his apparent demise, that is, in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, he rests now in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. So whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, then that is greater. Alhamdulillahi azzajal. And you know, subhanAllah, Al-Madinah al-Munawwara is greatness. That's a topic for another day, inshallah azzajal. But again, that mashallah, beautiful kalam we did listen to by our mashallah respected and honorable Rukn Shura Abdul Habib Attari. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them, inshallah azza wa jal, and beautifully recited. And I pray that this dua comes true, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls us to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara very, very soon, inshallah azza wa jal. Allahumma ameen. My dear viewers, you too, please do pray for me, inshallah, that I am able to go and visit there. And also, inshallah, for those who do desire and wish to go there. My dear viewers, coming to our topic, topic of the day, my dear viewers, invitation towards goodness, inviting towards that which is good, and to add to it, prohibiting those things which are evil, which is the same as inviting towards goodness. So if you were to stop somebody from doing bad, you are inviting them to do good. Not doing bad is good, my dear viewers. Two opposites are there. Now, Alhamdulillah, Azzurul, being within the environment of Dawat Islam, to an extent, people even having understanding of Dawat Islam, some sort of works of Dawat Islam, those who even know Dawat Islam quite a little, there are many people who, yes, they're not really part of Dawat Islam, but they'll try to travel on a Madani Qafila here and there. Something which is encouraged, highly encouraged, is inviting towards goodness. In giving da'wah, as it's called, inviting people towards doing good and forbidding or trying to prevent people, telling people, informing them about wrongs and evils and to refrain from performing anything which is wrong, anything which is evil, anything which is bad. Alhamdulillah, this is a general practice of the, mashallah, the individuals of Dawat Islam. Now, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, did this start from Dawat Islam? Is it only the duty of those people who, mashallah, they travel along with the qafilas of Dawat Islam? Is it only the job of Amir Ahli Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliya, who has, alhamdulillah, you know, we can see the effects of the da'wah, of the invitation of goodness, the struggles he went through, alhamdulillah, we can see the fruits of it today. Is it only their duty? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. The Araqeen Ashura, only those people who are associated with Dawat Islam? No. And this did not begin with Dawat Islam. This did not begin with Amir al-Sunnah. No, my dear viewers. And yes, it has been made famous, alhamdulillah, because alhamdulillah, Dawat Islam is doing so much work. But this was before, you know, this organization. It was before Amir al-Sunnah. It's not only the job of Amir Ahli Sunnah, it's a job of everybody. And this is something which comes to mind, in fact. But what we must understand is everybody has the same burden, you can call it, or weight on their shoulders. Meaning, just as it's my duty to invite people towards, let's just say, the religion of Islam, to invite people towards goodness, similarly it is your duty. Similarly, it is your duty. It is everybody's duty. This is a practice of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before them, it is the practice of the tabi'un. Before them, it is the practice of the companions. Yes, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers, before them, it is a practice of the anbiya alayhim as-salatu wa-salam. So this is something which is not only for, or it's not only for the people of Dawat Islam, no. It's for everyone. And who made it? Who began doing such? And my dear viewers, remember, it is by the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent prophets, alayhim as-salatu wa-salam. May we, inshallah, be given more love for every single prophet and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear viewers of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the people had sent prophets. And what is the purpose? To guide them, to invite them towards goodness, to prevent them from doing evil, to prevent them from doing wrong. How many prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have been sent? How many messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have been sent? It said approximately 124,000 prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wow, this is not a small number, this is huge. Approximately 124,000. From amongst those, approximately 330 messengers. But my dear viewers of Madani Channel, there was a beginning, meaning the first of prophets. Who was this? The first man, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And then, my dear viewers, 124,000 approximately, up until the greatest of all mankind, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Approximately 100, and I keep saying approximately, yes. Some people would be saying, why did you say 124,000? Why are you saying approximately? And this is really important. we shouldn't say specifically, but let's just say, for example, there are specifically 124,000 prophets. No, we shouldn't say this. Why? Because there may have been one more, two more, a few extra. And if we were to say there are only 124,000, remember our iman, being part of a Muslim, is to accept every prophet of Allah. So that may be that if we are to say there's only 124,000 and there's more, that means we may be rejecting one or more. On the other hand, we can't say up until, meaning that there's less. Why? Because if there's less, then somebody who's a non-prophet will be accepting them as a prophet, which again is completely contrary to our religion, to our faith, to our belief. So that's why we say approximately 124,000. So again, approximately 124,000 prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have been sent. And the task, the duty of every single one of these, every single one of them, was to invite towards goodness, to invite towards the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and to not associate any partners whatsoever to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last and final prophet was the greatest of all, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you will, inshallah, go to our daily reminder, and then inshallah we shall continue. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani channel, without question, visiting the blessed shrine of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is a great privilege, but it should be kept in mind that one who has been blessed with visiting this court must also conform to manners. A little bit of negligence may result in great deprivation. Let's now listen some of the manners. Number one, when visiting, one should make a pure intention of beholding the blessed grave of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. There must not be any intention such as show off or trade, etc. Number two, recite salat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam during the journey to Medina. Number three, as the haram of Medina approaches, it is better to cry and recite salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam with your head bowed and then move ahead. Visit the blessed shrine with great humility of the heart and body. Say salam. If you cannot weep, at least have a weeping look on your face. Number five, try to focus all of your attentions to the merciful court of the greatest and noblest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Refrain from using the mobile phone and taking selfies, and ponder that you are present in a very glorious court. Number six, if somebody has requested you to convey his salam to the court of beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then say salam on his behalf as well. Number seven, as long as you are blessed with a stay in Madina Tayyibah, spend most of your time in the state of wudu in the blessed masjid, offering salah, reciting the Holy Quran, salat upon the greatest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam as well. Obviously, you will also spend your time on fulfilling your needs. One should not talk about any worldly matter in any masjid. Take extra care there. Number eight, in Medina, the reward of 50,000 good deeds is granted for performing a single good deed. Therefore, put more effort in the acts of worship. Do cut down the intakes of food, etc., as long as possible, and give sadaqah. And number nine, never turn your back towards the blessed shrine of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. As long as possible, do not stand at such a place to offer salah where your back is towards the blessed shrine. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ, as I was saying, my dear viewers of Madinah Inshallah, inviting towards goodness, approximately 124,000, the last and final, and there cannot be another prophet or messenger after. So, for example, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam shall return. But Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam shall return as a follower of the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. There cannot be any prophet. It's impossible, completely impossible, for there to be another prophet or messenger after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Why? He is the seal of prophethood. He is the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasalam. Now, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prophethood meaning complete, and the task, the duty of the prophets is to invite towards goodness. Does that mean the objective is also stops there? No. But with the greatest of people after the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were sent out all over the world, even during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would send various companions before migrating to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah. The Prophet ﷺ sends companions to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah. He would send companions to Yemen. He would send companions to all sorts of places to teach them, to invite towards goodness, to invite them towards the deen, to invite them towards Islam. So this is not just a task of Dawat Islami. This is a task of the, this was, yes, the objective, the task of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the amal of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a sunnah. This is a sunnah. And my dear viewers, the sunnah is not only for the ulama. The sunnah is not only for those people with beards. The sunnah is not only for those people wearing imam ashrif. The sunnah is for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to act upon. We should act upon the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And amongst the first and greatest sunnahs is inviting towards goodness, inviting towards the religion of Islam. And my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, the struggles Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. This is just the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. In fact, even before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we go back towards Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, his children, Hazrat Shifa alayhi salatu wasalam, his children, Hazrat Nuh. In fact, they said about Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam that the age that some scholars have mentioned, about 1400 years, approximately 1400 years was the age. Yes, I'm saying 1400, not even 140, like 140 is a lot too. Nowadays, I don't think there's anybody alive that's 140. I think I remember reading an article about the oldest, and she's a lady, the oldest woman alive, and she's about 120 something, I think, if I remember correctly. Either 116 or 126. Allahu alam, I can't remember exactly. But wow, that's, you know, that's some age, isn't it? It is. So 140 would be a lot. Would be amazing. But imagine not 140. Not even 200 or 500 or 1,000, about 1,400 years. And Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam spent approximately 950 years inviting people towards the deen. Now some people would think that, oh yes, I do try, and people, they don't listen to me. This is really important, my dear viewers. I do try, but people don't listen. Remember, your job, you've done. Your job is trying. Your job is not to turn the people's hearts. That's not your job. Your job is to try. This is your job. Remember, they were prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. His own uncle, Abu Talib, or his another uncle, Abu Lahab, the Prophet ﷺ tried. They did not accept Islam. They refused, they rejected. Our job is to try. Our job is to invite them. After that, it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if He turns the people's heart, if He, subhanallah, purifies their hearts, and makes them accept my daily views of Madani channel. Alhamdulillah, Azzajal. We've had our daily reminder. Let's move on to the daily Hadith Sharif of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and minds, the most generous and kind Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers, let's listen to the Hadith Sharif. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Every one of us desires to be close to our Lord, Allah Azza wa Jal. One beautiful method that we must adopt in order to attain this proximity, closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal, is to offer our salah. Because we are told that this is that thing which defines a believer. This is what distinguishes a believer and a non-believer. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed salah throughout his life. Whenever he faced any concern or worry, he would turn towards salah. And in the Quran, we're told as well, "Ista'inu bi sabri wa salah." Seek help through patience and prayer. But the prayer has so many other benefits as well. We are human beings and we sin frequently. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us and grant us tawfiq to repent often. In one hadith, we're told that when you offer salah, your sins are forgiven. This hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, and is found in both Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked the companions, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ أَنَّ نَهْرًا بِبَابِ أَحَدِكُمْ يَخْتَسِلُ فِيهِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ خَمْسًا. If there was a stream or a river at the door of your house and you performed ghusl in that river, that water, 5 times a day, هَلْ يَبْقَى مِنْ دَرَنِهِ شَيْءٌ. Would there be any dirt left on your body? The Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in replied, لَا يَبْقَى مِنْ دَرَنِهِ شَيْءٌ. No such filth, no such dirt will be left, because he's constantly bathing in it 5 times a day. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَذَلِكَ مَثَلُ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ. That is the example of the 5 prayers. Meaning the 5 prayers are exactly like that. The 5 daily prayers are exactly like that. يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِهِنَّ الْخَطَايَا. By means of the 5 daily prayers, a person's sins are wiped out. Those 5 daily prayers, Allah Ta'ala, by means of you offering them, will wipe out your sins. So this is the benefit of offering salah. Your sins are forgiven. And we are in need of offering our 5 daily salah to obtain such blessings. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who are steadfast and consistent in offering salah.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Reviews of inshallah, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal. Yes, that was our daily hadith sharif, inshallah, azza wa jal. We are going to go to the fruit segment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The fruit segment. Which fruit shall we be speaking about? Papayas, yes. Papayas are interesting weather fruits. They have been enjoyed for many, many years. Papayas, they grow in tropical climates and are also known as papos or popos. Interesting. Allahu Akbar. Their sweet taste, their vibrant color, and the wide variety of health benefits they provide make them an extremely popular fruit. The possible health benefits of consuming the papaya include a reduced risk of heart disease, diabetes, cancer, aiding in digestion, improving, lowering blood pressure, and improving wound healing. Yes, if you have hurt yourself, eat a papaya. Allahu Akbar. It helps, it aids in the healing of your wound. This exotic fruit is packed with numerous health-benefiting nutrients. It is one of the favorites of fruit levels for its nutritional, digestive, and medicinal properties. The papaya plant is grown extensively all over the tropical regions, but under cultivated farms. For those on a calorie deficit, it has been said that the papaya fruit is very low in calories. That's just 43 calories for every 100 grams of papaya fruit, my dear viewers. And it contains no cholesterol whatsoever. Nonetheless, it is a rich source of phytonutrients, minerals, and vitamins. Yes, papayas contain soft, easily digestible flesh with a good amount of soluble dietary fiber that helps to have normal bowel movements, thereby reducing constipation problems. Now, papayas are great for your eyes. Why? They possess vitamin A. Vitamin A helps protect your vision from degeneration. Nobody wants to lose the ability to see due to a disease like age-related macular degeneration. And by eating papayas, this will ensure that you do not see a day where you cannot see. Yes, it also helps in reducing stress. And for those that wish to lose weight, my advice to you, eat papayas. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My dear viewers, fruits generally, you should try to regularly eat fruits. It's good. Have 5 a day if possible. But nevertheless, start your day. Rather than breakfast, don't let me have cereals. Alhamdulillah, in the morning, have a glass of milk, have an apple. Just begin your morning something simple like this. An apple, a glass of milk, my dear viewers. Remember, what you are doing every morning is you are breaking a fast. That's what they call it, breakfast. You are, in a way, I'm not speaking about an Islamic fast. I'm speaking about a fast where generally you would say over a duration of time being hungry. So if you are having your evening meal, your supper, your dinner at about 7, 6, 7 or 8 o'clock, and since 8 o'clock to the next morning, which may be again 6 for some, they'll have their breakfast 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. It's been 12 hours since you've eaten. So that's like a fast. You've not eaten in 12 hours. Your body has remained hungry for 12 hours. No food, no water, anything for 12 hours. Now what you're going to break your fast with is really important, that that food is good replenishing, you know, is nourishing food. This is what we require. So my dear viewers, we need to be careful what we eat. Having cereals, so much sugars, first thing in the morning, your sugar levels just spike, my dear viewers, and it's not good for your body. So begin your morning by, you know, a glass of milk, have some fruit in the morning. These are the sort of things we should be having. And yes, and remember, you know, cereals are given all sorts of logos. Yes, they'll have the names and they'll be like, suitable for this or good, and then sometimes they'll make it seem as if, yes, this is healthy because, oh, it's from fruits. It's a mix of fruits. But no, most of the time they are still not healthy. So try to refrain from them. Have good foods, have fruits, inshallah. Have a glass of milk or something in the morning. This should be your meal, inshallah, which you begin with. How did I go onto that? Yes, we were speaking about fruits. So eat fruits, eat them regularly, and try to just have a good diet generally, my dear viewers. Coming back to our topic, inviting towards goodness, there's a beautiful verse from the glorious Quran. And this is very important, this verse of the Quran. Not that every verse of the Quran is important, but meaning to our topic. And this verse, it states, this is Surah An-Nahl, verse number 125. It says, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikma." This is an important part. "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'idha wal maw'idatil hasana wa jadilhum billati hiya ahsan." The translation written here, the translation from Kanz al-Iman, it stated that "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikma wal maw'idatil hasana," that call towards the path of your Lord with sound planning and good advice. So this is important. With hikmah. Hikmah generally means wisdom. Here has been translated as sound planning. With sound planning, with wisdom. Wal maw'idhat al-hasana, and good advice. Wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan, and argue with them in this manner which is deemed the best. This is really important, my dear viewers. As we said, yes, everybody has some sort of duty to call people towards righteousness, to call people towards goodness. But there's a way of doing it too. This is the important part. There is a way of doing so, my dear viewers. There's a way of doing so. It's not that somebody has made a mistake, they've done something wrong, and immediately you're going to blurt out, or, "Look, how can you do such thing?" Maybe shouting, that's one manner. Sometimes even telling them, yes, you must be thinking, "Oh, I need to tell them though." But are they in front of other people? If you are going to tell them now, is it going to embarrass them? Is it going to harm them somehow? How will may they reciprocate? Due to peer pressure possibly? So we need, that's why it's mentioned here, look, the translation of Allah has a mashallah, beautiful, sound planning. Sound planning and good advice. We should use hikmah, my dear viewers. We should use wisdom. Don't really think, "Oh yes, no." Think about it. Think about it. I'm not just going to straight away go into it. No, think about it. That, "Oh, this I think is a mistake." Maybe even check it out before you think, "Oh, this is wrong. I'm not even sure if it's right." There's some things which are obviously right or wrong. There's some things I'm not too sure. Maybe it's in a person's words. Maybe you can, you know, ask about it. You can look up about it. And then, when shall I tell this person who made a mistake? When shall I tell him? How shall I tell him? There's a famous story mentioned about the Shabab, the Sayyidah Shabab, this Shabab Ahlul Jannah. The leaders of the Shabab Ahlul Jannah, the youth of Jannah. Who are the leaders of the youth of Jannah? These are the great two individuals who are the grandchildren of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat, the great Hazrat Imam Hassan radhiyallahu an, and the great Hazrat Imam Hussein radhiyallahu ta'ala an. Now these two individuals, it said that there was an elderly person, and this is just a quick example, inshallah, this elderly individual, he was performing ablution. But this man, this old man, he was performing ablution, yes, but he wasn't doing it right. Now, my dear viewers, ablution, if the ablution is not complete, the fara'id, if they have not been fulfilled, in such a case, then, my dear viewers, the salah could not be performed. Because ablution is a precondition for salah. So if there's no ablution done, you're praying your salah, you're wasting your time. Because you've not done your ablution properly. How can your salah be complete without your ablution? So there was an elderly person and he was performing ablution. But this elderly person was performing ablution wrong. The two grandchildren of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Imam Hassan radhiyallahu an, Hazrat Imam Hussein radhiyallahu ta'ala an, two great individuals, Allahu Akbar. Just saying their name brings the happiness, doesn't it? Alhamdulillah. Hazrat Imam Hassan, Hazrat Imam Hussein radhiyallahu anhuma, they were both present and they would see this elderly man who's performing his ablution, but he's doing it wrong, he's making a mistake. What shall I do? Now they're young. And the person who was performing ablution, who was performing it wrong, was an elderly person. Now if a young person is going to tell an elderly person, think about it, how would that seem? And generally an elderly person, being an elderly person, they'll say, who the hell do you think you are to tell me? Who are you to tell me? Or sometimes is that, you know, there's all sorts of things. I'm not saying that was present in this case, but generally, an old person doesn't like being told what to do, especially by somebody who's, you know, probably could be the age of his grandchildren.
So a person must think that I'm a youngster. If I was to tell him, how would he take it? So sometimes maybe inform somebody who will do something about it. Somebody who's in a better position to tell them. But how did these, and mashallah, this is hikmah. Really, alhamdulillah, beautiful example. Good planning. How did they plan? What did they plan? Does the Imam Hassan and the Imam Hussein thought to himself, if we were to go tell them, then no, it could possibly cause a problem. What shall we do? How shall we need to, because we've made a mistake, we need to do something about it. What can we do? Should we go tell them? But what if we tell them and that there's a problem? So then they say to themselves, okay, and they say loud. They say, look, I'm going to perform ablution. Can you tell me? One says to the other, I'm going to perform ablution. Can you tell me if I'm doing it right or I'm doing it wrong? And they'll say it loud for that person to overhear. So now they perform that thing which they performed wrong. And the Prophet, and they say, this is the right manner. And then the old man, he understands too. Mashallah is an intelligent individual. He understands too, and he says, thank you for telling me. I understand the reason he did this. That I did this wrong and you have corrected me. Allahu Akbar. Now Madibas, it's not about correcting. They could have said to him, look, you're doing it wrong. They could have said, oh, this is how it is. But then maybe they may not accept it. So what was the method there? What was their planning? Good planning. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bilhikmah. With good planning. What was their good planning? Their good planning was that I'll say, I'll let them over here. You know, you tell me if I'm doing it right or wrong. This is, no, it's not like this. Is it like this? Or yes, it is like this. So then that person understood that these are trying to actually teach me. So my dear viewers of Madani channel, what's really integral, this verse of the Quran, that good planning should be used. So you, sometimes even, let's just say a person makes a mistake in front of others. Sometimes in secret, go and tell this person that look, this was should have been done in such and such manner, or this shouldn't have been done, or this shouldn't have been said. Why? Because that way they will respect you. If you take them to the side, they will respect them and say, thank you. But sometimes in front of others, you know, a person being human, a person has pride or whatever it may be, arrogance, it may cause a person to react. And sometimes, rather than in a positive way, in a negative way. So many views of Madani Shalom, subhanAllah, and due to this, this has changed. There's a famous Mongol empire founded by Genghis Khan. Now he had a grandchild. Now remember there was Ogide Khan, then there was Telugu Khan, there was all sorts. There was Monkey Khan. But because they had so many wives, had so many children too. So this was not a ruler of the entire Mongol Empire, but he was a major ruler. He was a grandchild of Genghis Khan. Now these individuals, everybody's heard of the Mongol Empire, quite famous, you know, how they conquered land so quickly, they conquered so much land, but the methods they would adopt in, you know, conquering the lands were, you could say, to some level, unprecedented. They were saddening, they were really, not wrong, we can say. But there was a scholar, and this scholar was of Khurasan. I'll mention it quickly, subhanAllah. He had a dream and he was told to go and present Islam to the Mongols. So he went to Hulakusun, whose name was Tagudar Khan, who was a ruler. I don't think he was the entire ruler of the entire Mongol Empire, but he was a major ruler, my dear viewers. And this person went to him and he was invited to go and see him. And that person, when he saw this person, he saw that he has a beard, etc. So he thought he'll take advantage. And then people, they didn't have respect, whether it be for a messenger or anything. They didn't have no respect for them. But he says to him, he says, tell me, is your beard better or is the tail of my dog better? What's better, your beard or the tail of my dog, Ma'azallah? Now this is such a question which a person would react and say, who do you think you're talking to me like this? Well, he was the ruler. But a person would react to become angry and maybe even leave. That I don't wish to speak to you. Because some people would be fearful of the life. This individual, no doubt, the true, the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're not afraid of death. But he needed to give an answer now. And the question was a derogatory question. How will he answer? He says, I too am a dog of my Lord. I too am a dog of the Creator. If I am performing such actions, if I'm able to prove my loyalty and I am successful in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then my deed is better. But if I am not able to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the tail of your dog is better. So what was the answer? It's not just say, yes, of course my deed is better, which is the correct answer. But saying it, such a thing may have caused the leader to may even kill him. Very easily, they would just order him to be killed. He would easily be killed. No. This is hikmah, this is good planning, this is wisdom. Something just come with age. This is wisdom that he views in the Mishra. And due to this, and I'm going to skip forward, you know, he asked him, he was amazed himself, the ruler, he was amazed, Taqubil Khan was amazed. And he says to him, why do you remain? And he sat with him, he spent some time with him, he asked him questions, and then he even accepted Islam. So the Mongols later accepted Islam due to this reason. Many of the Mongols became Muslims. And this was a huge, this had a huge impact. It was a great reason for the acceptance of Islam. Salim Adi viewers, time is up. Tomorrow, inshallah, we shall continue with another topic. Please do join us tomorrow. That's all for now. Enjoy the day. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.